One day I was just walking around the parking lot and praising the Lord and just having just a time with the Lord. And I said something to this effect. I said, "Lord, I just love you so much. And I'm your servant." And the Lord spoke to my heart. He said, "Son, I do not call you servant, but I call you friend." I walked into the church. With my hands in the air, I said, "Jesus, if you call me friend, I will serve you forever." We need to understand something. That God is our friend. In all that that means, some of you I have been friends with for a long time. We see each other, we light up. Janine lights up. It's because we're friends. Scott and Naomi and I have known each other now for a long time. Known the Neff family for years. Beginning with little Preston. Became a part of my life. Preston was brain damaged during surgery and couldn't talk, couldn't walk, couldn't eat. Everything was done for him. His birthday was on December 15th, which meant I had to come up with a birthday present for somebody that can't walk, talk, or eat. And 15 days later, I have to come up with a Christmas present. It was really hard to know what to do. But through him, I got to know all the family. His brother, Travis, became a close friend of mine. And he was a horseman, and I'm a horseman. And I said to him, "Travis, let's go riding together." And he said, "Okay." He was probably 15 at the time, and this was a few years ago. And he turned to his dad afterwards and he said, "Dad, how do you talk to a preacher?" But Travis and I became friends through horses. What is it that brings you into friendship with whoever it is that lights your life up, that makes you just feel like you're glad to be alive because they're there? It's a wonderful thing to have friends. I want to read to you from the book of John. John chapter 14, verse 16. "And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever." Verse 17, "Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it sees him not, neither knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you." Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you will open to our hearts and our lives the word of God this morning, that somehow we might understand that you are calling us to friendship. Sonship, yes. Familyship, yes. A child of God, yes. But a friend of God. Lord, help us to understand the magnitude of that invitation that you give us to come into friendship. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. One day, if you are a believer, one day you felt drawn to God. You maybe didn't know what it was, but you felt a need for God. There was in you a sense of, I need something to fill my life. You may have suddenly become very aware of sin and realized that there were things in your life that suddenly you hated, you didn't want them there. You didn't know why you didn't want them there anymore, but you knew they were wrong and you didn't want them. And you felt this drawing. And then somehow, maybe it was in a church service, maybe it was a TV program, maybe it was on the radio, you heard an evangelist preach. And you heard the preacher as he talked about Jesus, and something in you was drawn to that. And you began to feel an urge towards that message that was coming. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. And you felt the weight of your sin, and you wanted free of it. You wanted to be. You just wanted clean. The song that Scott sang this morning, "Who am I? Who am I that the God of heaven would reach down and want to somehow bring me to a place, and yet my sin separates me?" And you heard the message of Jesus, that he had died on the cross for you, that he had shed his blood, that he gave his life that you might be free. And you came to Jesus, and you surrendered your life to him, and you said, "Lord, come into my heart and save me." And as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God, the daughters of God, the children of God. And you found that Jesus was everything he had said that he was. And you fell in love with Jesus. And Jesus then says, "I want you to meet my Father. I want you to meet my Father. I want you to know him. I want you to know the very Father who sent me to die on the cross for you. I want you to know me." And he gave this prayer. The disciples had heard Jesus praying, and they said, "Lord, teach us how to pray," just like John taught his disciples. And Jesus says this: "When you pray, say, 'Our Father.'" That's a brand new concept. You see, to the Jewish mind, God was on the mountain. Moses might ascend up to the mountain, but nobody else touched the mountain. You touch the mountain, you die. God was there in the heavens. He was unreachable. And suddenly Jesus comes and says, "When you pray, say, 'Our Father.'" He brought God down to the heart of man, where we could look at him and actually realized that God literally wanted to bring me into his family. That I wasn't just a sinner saved by grace, but I am now a child of God. The Father loves me with this amazing love. And so you love Jesus for what he did for you, and now you love your Father. You say, "Oh, Father, I love you so much because you made a way. You gave your only begotten Son that I might have life, that I might have it more abundantly." And the Father says something like this: "Oh, child, welcome home. I love you. I want you to know that I love you and that you are welcome to come to my house any day. You're welcome always. I am never too busy for you. If you have a need, ask me. You can come to me in the middle of the night. You can come to me anytime." In fact, he says, "I want you to meet someone. I want you to meet someone that you can't see. The world doesn't understand him. But I want you to meet my precious Holy Spirit." It's an amazing thing. It's the circle. We are being drawn. We don't know who's drawing us, but it's the Holy Spirit. You see, he is the one who, no man can come to the Father except the Father draw him. You could not be saved except that God sent his Spirit to you and says, come to the Father. You didn't know who it was that was drawing you. You didn't know it was the Holy Spirit. You didn't know anything. All you knew was you had this urge within you to come to God. You felt a conviction of sin. You didn't know why you felt a conviction of sin, but it's God's Holy Spirit showing you the holiness of God. And when we see the holiness of God, like Isaiah, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and I cried, woe is me, for I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell amongst the people of unclean lips. How did he know that? He knew it because the Holy Spirit revealed it to him. He didn't know who the Holy Spirit was. Now the Father says to you, you love my Son, and you love me. I want you to love my Holy Spirit too. Now, I can't explain to you the Trinity. I don't understand the Trinity fully myself. But this much I do know, that there is one God who has revealed himself in three divine, perfect persons. And there's absolutely no jealousy in the Godhead. When you love Jesus, the Holy Spirit doesn't say, what about me? When you love the Holy Spirit, the Father doesn't say, well, what about me? You see, when you love Jesus, the Father and the Holy Spirit rejoice because you love Jesus. The Holy Spirit and Jesus rejoice because you love the Father. And Jesus and the Father rejoice because he said, I want you to know and love my Spirit as well. Can I tell you, I woke up yesterday morning saying, Lord, what's the message for Sunday? And the Lord said, my Holy Spirit, your friend. And I said, thank you, Lord. Because I have to tell you, my best friend is the Holy Spirit. Couldn't live without him, not a moment. Couldn't get along at all without him. He's the one that thrills my heart day after day. This morning I sat, after I'd gotten ready for church, and I pulled out my phone. This amazing thing, isn't it? You know, I put the Gaithers on my phone. And I began to listen to one of the singers who said, when you get to heaven, look for me at Jesus' feet. If you can't find me, don't look at the pearly gate. Don't look in the golden streets. Don't look at the jasper walls. If you want to find me, look for me at Jesus' feet. I thought, wow. And I'm sitting there and I'm crying because of God's sweet presence. What the Holy Spirit was just sharing with me. He says, come on, and we'll love Jesus together. Do you ever love Jesus with the power of the Spirit on you? Do you ever love God because the Spirit just wells that love up in your heart? So you feel the love of Jesus. And then there are times, how many of you know there are times you don't feel anything? I do marriage counseling. It's not my favorite thing. In fact, I sometimes like funerals better than weddings. You take Mabel's funeral. That was a rejoicing time, knowing she was in the presence of Jesus. I miss her. I miss her so much. I used to love to go to visit her. But to know she was in the presence of Jesus. I tell some young couples, now remember this, you will wake up some morning, you will look across the kitchen breakfast table, and you'll think, who in the world did I marry? You don't feel anything. You just don't feel anything. And you say, oh my goodness, I've fallen out of love with my wife. No, you haven't. No, you haven't. You're just having a normal day. Things just didn't go the way you maybe thought they would. You're still in love. You say, that never happened to me. Don't tell your wife that. She knows better. Don't tell your husband that. He knows better. He's seen that look in your eye. What does it mean? You're not in love? No. Love is a decision we make. It's not a feeling. If love always depended on feelings, let me tell you something. You'd be in and out of love so many times you wouldn't know who you loved or what you loved. Because it's not all about feelings. It's about commitment. And when you commit yourself to God, there are times I don't feel any love for God. I don't feel any emotions. Don't feel anything. Doesn't mean I don't love God. You with me? Doesn't mean I don't love God. Because I've committed my life to Him. I've said, Lord, I am yours from here on out. Do I have feelings? Yeah, tomorrow the feelings will be, they'll be wonderful. But today, maybe not. One of the worst things that you can do is base your faith on your feelings. Because the minute you base your faith on your feelings, you will find that feelings are fickle. They go up, they go down. Sometimes they're hot, sometimes they're cold. But your commitment doesn't change. I love this woman that God has given me. Sometimes I feel it strong. Sometimes I don't feel anything. I mean, I don't love her. Just means I'm not feeling much today. Same thing with Jesus. Same thing with God. Feelings are fickle. But I never don't love this woman. I always love her. Always. If I could get that through to some of the people I counsel, there'd be a lot of marriages that would last a lot longer. It's a commitment. My commitment to the Father, my commitment to the Son, my commitment to the Holy Spirit. The great blessed three in one. My feelings, yes. But my relationship with God is far more than feelings. My relationship with God is a commitment that I made. My relationship with God is based on who He is and what He's done in my life. That He changed me, He transformed me, and He transforms me day by day, hour by hour, making me into the child He wants me to be. What could I have done to deserve God's only Son? Nothing. There's not a thing in this world I could ever do to deserve God's love. Can I tell you this? He didn't love me because I deserve it. He loved me because He loved me. I don't know why. It was nothing I did. It was nothing that I deserved. I didn't deserve it. In fact, if He had given me what I deserved, He'd send me to hell. I was a sinner, condemned, undone, no righteousness whatsoever. He would have been perfectly, absolutely justified to have taken me the moment I was born and cast me into hell because I was born in sin. In sin did my mother conceive me. I was a sinner from the beginning. So were you. We all have that Adam nature. God could have justly thrown me into hell, but He didn't. He loved me. Looked down at that scrawny little kid, red-faced, wrinkled up, said, "Isn't he beautiful?" I remember our son when he was born. I told the doctor, "I will be in the room when he's born." And doctor said, "Well, it depends on what the anesthesiologist." I said, "You don't understand. I will be in the room." We ended up in Pittsburgh Hospital. The first thing I saw the doctor was, "Doctor, when that baby is born, I will be in the room." He wasn't very happy with me. But this little one, I was going to see him born. Can I tell you? Becky had cesarean birth. pulled that little fellow out. He weighed 4 pounds, went down to 311. He was less than a, he was more than a handful, less than an armful. Had wires in his head. Had to give him all kinds of things because he was a preemie. In the natural, he wasn't beautiful. But to this father's eyes, he was beautiful. Beautiful. He grew into a very handsome young man, for which I'm very thankful. But you see, God doesn't look at us like we are. He looks at us as his children, whom he loved enough that he sent his only begotten son to die for, that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. And to do that, he knew that it was going to take more than Jesus dying for me. It was going to take more than his forgiveness to make me into what he wanted me to be. It was going to take more than his than the dying of his son, more than his love for me. It was going to take a helper. Jesus walked with his disciples. He's teaching them. Can I tell you, they don't get it. The very end of his ministry, they come into the room where Peter and John have been sent to prepare for the Passover. They come walking in the room, and those two have done everything to make this upper room perfect. It's ready for the Passover feast. They have got everything in place, and there is a basin of water and a towel laying at the door. And Peter and John both walk away from the basin and the towel. They're not going to wash the feet of the other disciples. They're too important for that. Why, if I have to watch, if I have to wash Matthew's feet, that elevates Matthew over him. Me, it makes him more important. And so they both walk away from the door. They will not meet there. They are to go. They are the host. They are to bow down and they are to wash the feet of the disciples. They won't do it. They won't do it. Jesus comes in. Nobody's there to wash feet. Oh, they would have been glad to wash Jesus' feet. But I'm not going to wash James's feet. No, no. It would make him more important than me. This is after 3.5 years of ministry with Jesus. They don't get it. They don't get it. They don't understand it. They have the meal and Jesus gets up, walks over, picks up the basin, picks up the towel, and walks to the first of the disciples, bows down, and begins to wash his feet. Everybody's shocked. Everybody's horrified. Jesus should not be doing that. He is the most important person. He's going to be the King of Kings, and I'm going to be his prime minister. That disciple should never allow Jesus to wash his feet. And they finally get to Peter, and Peter says, "You won't wash my feet." And Jesus said, "Peter, if I don't wash your feet, you don't have any part in me." Peter said, "Well, then give me a bath." He said, "You don't need a bath. You just need your feet washed." But you see, they didn't get it. They didn't get it. And Jesus is ready to go to heaven and leave all of these disciples who've been with him. They've graduated from Bible college with the best teacher in the world, and they still don't get it. And Jesus sends, he says, "Listen, guys, I'm going to go away, but I'm going to send you another comforter, someone just like me. It's going to take him to get you ready for heaven." Can I tell you, it still takes the Holy Spirit to get us ready for heaven. He's the one that comes in and convicts us of sin. Convicts us when we've done wrong, when we've been unkind, when we've said something we shouldn't have said, when we've watched something we shouldn't have watched, when we've done something that we knew we shouldn't have done. He never lets us get away with it. Are you aware of that? He brings conviction. When he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. He will teach you all things. He will show you things to come. It's the ministry of the Holy Spirit that takes the bride of Christ and prepares that bride for the great wedding that's coming. Without him, we wouldn't do very well. The blood of Christ cleanses us and washes us from sin. The Father's love draws us. But let me tell you, it takes the Holy Spirit to prepare us day by day, hour by hour, ministering to us, saying, come on, child, do it this way. And we rebel. I don't want to do that. You need to go and ask your wife to forgive you. You were unkind to her. Oh, but Lord, she knows me. She understands I didn't mean it. No, you've got to go and ask forgiveness. Oh, we never do that. We never do that. She just knows. How many of you know the Holy Spirit doesn't let you get away with that? He says, no, you need to go and do it. You took something you shouldn't take. I remember at camp, someone came to me and they told me that one of our children, this was back at horse camp years ago at another, at Deer Trail Ranch, said one of the boys stole something at the store. So I went to all the kids and I says, young people, one of you has done something you should not have done, and you must come to me and tell me what you did and why you did it. Nobody came. I said, I'll give you till bedtime. Nobody came. Bedtime came. Everybody went to bed. I walked into his room and I said, come with me. Oh no, I've been found out. I said, you were the one. What did you do? Well, I brought some books here that I'm not supposed to read. I said, well, I'm glad you told me that. That's not what I'm after. But I said, we'll deal with that too. I said, you took something from a store. What are you going to do about it? Well, I'm going to go to church and I'm going to ask God to forgive me. I said, you didn't steal it from God. Well, I'm going to ask him to forgive me. I says, he's not going to forgive you until you deal with the thing, because you didn't steal it. You stole it from the drugstore. And I said, tomorrow we are going back to the drugstore. And you're going to go in and you're going to tell him you stole it. And you're going to return it to him. He didn't want to do that. But my job was the same job the Holy Spirit has, is to follow through. Follow through. Do it. We did. When we got all done, he had done it, made it right. I said, what are you going to do now? He said, now I want to go and pray. I said, now you got it in proper order. That's right. Now you go pray. See, that's what the Holy Spirit does. He says, this in your life, I am preparing you to become the bride of Christ. I am preparing you to become a child of God. I am preparing you. That is my ministry. That is why God the Father has sent me, is to bring you into all the likeness of Jesus. And when people look at you, they see Jesus. How many of you know that's what God wants to do? He wants to make us. The apostle says, I will be sad, or the psalmist said, I will be satisfied when I awake with your likeness, when I look like you. One of my favorite stories is a mother and her son are walking down the street, and across the street is somebody walking, and the little boy says, Mommy, Mommy, there's Jesus, there's Jesus. And she turned and saw the boy's Sunday school teacher. That's a good Sunday school teacher, can I tell you? When they see Jesus in you and they see Jesus in me, would you bow your heads with me, please? I want you to know the precious Holy Spirit. The word says, how much more shall your Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? You see, the gift of the Holy Spirit is not to the world. They don't see him nor understand him. He works with them, but they don't know who he is. The gift of the Holy Spirit is to the children of God. It's to us who have given our life to Christ to say, Lord, I want to become your friend. I have a friend of mine who's a horseman, and he would tell you today, if you said, who's your best friend? He'd say, the Holy Spirit's my best friend. Can I tell you this? The Holy Spirit is a wonderful friend to have. Cultivate his friendship. You say, how do I do that? By listening to him. When he speaks to you, you listen. You obey him. When he tells you to make something right, you don't fight him, you do it. Oh, you will fight him because that's human nature. But you win that battle, you lose. If you really want to win that battle, you have to lose the battle and give up and do what God tells you to do to begin with. How many with the uplifted hand would say, Pastor Dick, I really want to know the Holy Spirit better. Would you pray for me that I can get more acquainted with the Holy Spirit? Just slip your hand into the air and put it down. Yes, yes. It's always those who are closest to Jesus that respond first. Because my hand's in the air, I want to know Jesus better. Your hand's in the air, you want to know Jesus better. Father, may we know the Holy Spirit as well as we know Jesus. May we come to love him as much as we love the Father and much as we love the Son. Lord, may we rejoice in the Holy Spirit. May we learn to know him so well that we recognize his voice instantly. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. My brother-in-law last night said to me this. He said, Dick, do you ever feel the music that is in your heart when you think about God? He said, I'm not talking about music that has score. He said, I'm talking about the music. He said, it's like, did you ever see your mother and you were just so thrilled to see her? And all of a sudden, I thought of my mom. And I thought, oh my, if I should see her right now, the music that would well from my heart. I haven't seen her for 40-some years. If this phone should ring and I picked it up and she said, hi, honey, I'd recognize her voice in an instant. In an instant. Haven't heard it for 40-some years. I can't even remember it, but I know that I would know it. God wants us to feel the music of just his presence. That music that is there that makes us want to dance and sing and rejoice because God is there. And we're in love with him. Thank you, Lord. Father, take us through this week, enjoying your presence, listening to the music of heaven that comes just because we're with you. Sometimes we'll cry, sometimes we'll laugh, sometimes we may dance. Lord, we're just so happy when you come and we feel your presence. We know you're always there because you've promised, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you. But Lord, there are times that we have the consciousness of your presence. Those times are so amazingly wonderful. May we enjoy them more and more. May we invite your presence more and more. And may we know your Spirit better than we've ever known him. Because we realize, Father, that he's the one that makes everything real to us. He's the one that reveals all truth to us. He's the one that reveals the Father's love, the Son's love to us. We thank you, Father, in Christ's name. Amen.